Okay. Yeah, first I want to thank Shlomo and Michelle, cousin Michelle, for opening up the home for the shiur. And Hashem's boss should give them brachas in each and every room, that she simcha and nachas, we should make him Hashem simchas in the house with our family and all of us and children. And we should be zeichem to Hashem to move everything, all good things to Yerushalayim. This entire year we've been working on the inyan of being down the kafsos, being down the kafsos of trying to judge another Jew in a good and a favorable way, in a positive way. And it's as we've seen, it's a very, very difficult inyan. I wanted to conclude the year, which is not tonight. We have one more. We'll have another one. In June it's usually very hard. Only in June is Baruch Hashem the simchas. But I wanted to conclude with learning this sugya, which touches upon the underlying issue and how really practically people like us can change in this area. What we have to do, a certain way of thinking. Recently we were learning from the Kuntres of Rabbi Meir Zibelberg on the inyan of being down the Kafsos the last few months, and we're going to learn these final two shiurim from the Sefer Sifsei Chaim from Rabbi Chaim Friedlander. Rabbi Chaim Friedlander was one of the great Bali Musar in Eretz Yisrael. He was considered by most to be the foremost disciple of Rav Dessler. This is a classic Musar approach to refining ourselves in this area of being down the kafskos. And it really answers, or tries to solve the underlying issue, the underlying problem, and how we could actually change. We'll see in a moment. Okay, Kuf Samaches. This is La'el Heveinu with Divrei Geres Ramban. We learned from the Geres Ramban and others from Baruch HaSadikim how to acquire the humility that's needed to fulfill this mitzvah of judging every person favorably. Kfi shalomdu chazal me'aposik v'tzedek tishpat amisecha havidan is kol chavarech l'kav schus. Now we go all the way back to the beginning. We learned, it's actually from last week's parasha, that the Torah says, "B'tzedek tishpat amisecha," that you shall judge your friend in a way that is true. Now that we spoke about at length, that being damakav schus is called judging the person in a true way, which we discussed is odd, because truthfully, if I were to judge this person in a true way, I see many problems, I see many issues that are staring at me in the face, and I really can't deny that these are true. And yet, this is the source of the mitzvah to judge favorably. Tzedek ain't a kavana lios tzedek, el chapes es kol ha'sharios lahafdik es hashem. So we learned at length that tzedek is like the word that we use in Hebrew, lahatzdik. And lahatzdik means to justify, to rationalize. That means that when I see something negative in another Jew, I have to work very, very hard to try to justify, to try to rationalize why that person is behaving in that way. And we learn, even if sometimes it's far-fetched, even though it's far-fetched, we have to think of explanations to try to see that person in a good light. In every single act, in everything that your friend is doing, you have to try to see the milus of that person. And you should see that person in a way that is better than the way that you would look at yourself. And this is the underlying problem in the mitzvah of being done lekav schus. He says, meaning, that you have two people who have done the same thing. A friend, somebody that you know, and yourself. And we spoke about this a great deal. Generally, the things that upset you about other people are most likely things that are wrong with yourself. And we spoke about that by Arichas and the Baal Shem Tov. Now, here we have one identical act that has taken place. The only chilukiyah is, the only difference is that there are two people. One is your friend, and the other is you. And the Torah comes along and says that when you're judging your friend, you should judge that act, that same act, in a very positive way. And you should try to rationalize, and you should try to justify, and find some limitzchus for that person when you're judging your friend. And the very same act, if you did it yourself, it's just the opposite. You should not be matzdik yourself, but instead, when it comes to yourself, you should be honest, and you have to recognize and acknowledge the fact that there's something that's missing in your life. There's something that's wrong that requires repair. So this is a pretty strange thing. Our natural tendency would be to say the following: I did this, and I know it's disgusting, and I know it's terrible. So that person has done the identical thing. So if it's disgusting for me, it's disgusting for her too, for him. Why should it be that if he does it or she does it, it's okay? And I have to find, it's a big mitzvah to find all these explanations and all these far-fetched reasons why, you know, it might be. And when it comes to myself, the Torah tells me that I have to be brutally self-honest with myself, and to work hard to see what's truly wrong in myself. He says here that in general, whatever a Jew does in life, every single thing that we're doing, everything that we look at, it has to be with this question of what does Hashem's Baruch want me to do right now? In other words, how am I supposed to serve him this moment? Klape hazulos. So this is amazing. When I see that very same act being done by my friend, then what? So then the Torah comes along and says, then Hashem says, this is how you're supposed to serve me now. You saw your friend do this thing. You saw your friend acting in a very selfish way, whatever. Now Hashem comes and says, this is how I want you to serve me. By what? By finding all types of excuses and explanations to rationalize that person's behavior. Right? That's how I serve Hashem. To see the milos of that person, to try to see what's good in that person. We understand that even if that person might have some deficiencies, that doesn't help me to become a better Avod Hashem. But Hashem's Baruch wants me to do in my Avod Hashem is to lift myself up by not falling into negativity, and instead seeing what's good with this person and trying to find this chus. Now, here we have the famous excuse for seeing negative. This is what the person says. Personally, I want you to know I mamish love you. And why is it that I'm so critical of you? Because I want to help you, right? I want to help you. Therefore, since the Torah, you might say that the Torah, that Hashem has given me a certain avodas Hashem, which is what? My avodas Hashem is to admonish you. This is one of the most popular forms of serving God, right? My avodas Hashem, my way of serving Hashem this moment is to see what's wrong with you and to help you grow. So you might say that that's avodas Hashem. That is my way of serving Hashem, by showing you your faults and by helping you, by pointing out your faults, and in doing so, perhaps you'll be able to correct them. You can't say that. Why not? Even though we learned in last week's parasha that there's a mitzvah to rebuke and to admonish, there is a mitzvah to tell someone that something is wrong. So Amr Chazal, because the Gemara already says, the Gemara says it would be a great wonder if there's anybody in our generation, that's in the time of Chazal, if there's anybody in our generation who knows how to properly admonish. And it's even a greater wonder if there'd be anybody who knows how to receive rebuke, who knows how to be criticized. So already in the time of Chazal, the Chachamim, the sages, were very, very suspicious that we're no longer on such a level where we can give rebuke purely out of love, where it's purely for the sake of helping another person. And even if you have such an individual, even more rare is the individual who can receive rebuke, who's able to take it and to actually become better and to change.
Umiyidat klapei atzma avodas Hashem nechayevis l'shanos es hamabat
Rak lecha beis es chesanosa. On the other hand, this is the remarkable thing. The same Torah that requires me to come up with all kinds of amazing explanations for that person, my friend's behavior, and to see good in that person, to see his mindless, the same Torah comes along and tells me to be honest with myself and not to play games. And if I have a fault, not to run away from it, but to fix it. To show the points of deficiency and ugliness within oneself, you have to see them and to fix them. So let's say you see your friend doing something that's an aveir. The halacha, we spent a great deal of time in the beginning months and months ago on the halacha. So the halacha comes and says, the Torah comes and says that you should at least try to understand that person's behavior is the result of a mistake. You know, they didn't learn it properly, that doesn't know enough about the halacha, that maybe didn't realize that he or she was hurting my feelings. You're supposed to try to take that person's aveira down from a level of being intentional to being unintentional. But when it comes to yourself, the Torah does not say you should figure out all kinds of ways to rationalize and to justify what you're doing. You should face the reality that, no, I knew this was wrong and I shouldn't have done it. Vayidei hari'iyah b'maylas hazulas l'umas chasunaysav yizkeh lirchosh es maylas ha'anova. And by being able to look at the world in these two ways, at yourself in an honest and even critical way, not God forbid to destroy yourself, chas v'shalom, but with a critical eye that's open to change, and the other person with the other person to look at like the Kedushas Levi, as we spoke about the whole year, only in a positive and beautiful and wonderful way, to try to find every opening to be milam etzchus on that person. By doing this, a person will ultimately acquire one of the most beautiful and most difficult meters to acquire, which is another, which is humility, which he explains at length later on. Ach yesh lahavin, this is what we have to grapple with right now. How can a person create within himself two opposite ways of looking at Metzius? Two completely conflicting, what appear to be conflicting way of judging the very same act. The way that you look at yourself is the opposite of how you look at another person. When you look at yourself, Hashem's Baruch wants you to serve Him by being critical and by being honest. But when it comes to looking at everybody else, Hashem's Baruch wants us to serve Him by not looking in such a way. It's very hard. Because you know that when a person, you have a person who's by nature a critical person, and that person has a certain teva to see things in a negative way. A negative person looks at reality in a negative way and doesn't make distinctions. A person who's very positive tends to see things in a positive way. So here the Torah says negative, positive, plus, you know, minus, plus, minus, plus. And it's very difficult. How do you do that? And the opposite way is how you look at someone else. The objectivity, that means objective. The Torah says that you're supposed to be turned completely around. Yeah, with yourself you're supposed to be tough, and with the other person you're supposed to turn your meter completely around and be the most gentle, positive person on earth. That the very same meter or the very same personality or act which by you see honestly as being what? Achisar. It's something which is terrible, it's wrong, it needs to be fixed. Eitzel chaver, you're supposed to see there's a mailah. Well, there's something nice about that person. You can try to find something good in that. Mashiach is amazing. Eitzel chaver is a shogeg. What by you is considered to be an intentional sin, by your friend is that he made a mistake. So don't be offended by that. It's an expression that sometimes is used in the swarm. Can a black person change the color of his skin? I mean, what are you supposed to do with this? We're being told to look at the Metzius in this way when it comes to one person, and it's totally different when it comes to another person. Hagoyin Rebbe Yisrael Salanter. Kaisev Bekoshi Asogios HaNova. Rebbe Yisrael Salanter, when he wrote about the difficulty of acquiring the need of humility, which is something, to be truly humble is something which the human mind can't comprehend. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter taught the following. And by the way, we should keep in mind I was thinking about this, if we keep in mind what happened with the students of Rabbi Akiva that I spoke about this past Shabbos, which is mind-boggling. 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva died between Pesach and Shulz. And who were these people? These weren't stunned people. These were the future leaders of the entire generation, the greatest tzaddikim kadoshim. And I was thinking earlier today about how, about, unfortunately I had to be at a funeral today. I was thinking about how Rabbi Akiva buried 24,000 of his students, who he adored, who he loved. He went to each and every levaya. Rabbi Akiva went to every funeral. And it's amazing, Rabbi Akiva's schus couldn't save the students, and that these are great people. And the Gemara says, because Shalainogu covered Zalazar, they didn't honor each other. They didn't honor each other. I think it's very much connected, to what we're learning. Perhaps these were such exalted people that they were so, this is just an idea that I had, that they were so demanding of themselves. They were seeking so desperately to become whole and perfect that perhaps again, just the possibility that their way of looking at others was equally critical. When you are very, very self-demanding, when you're a person that is a perfectionist, there's a very strong likelihood that you're going to demand perfection from other people as well. And Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, Rabbi Akiva's students were unbelievable Jews. And they were looking for the highest madrigas. And Rabbi Akiva, as you know, was a person that was the tzaddik of the generation. And it could be that they were intolerant, again, on their level, not for people like us to talk about, on their level, they were as intolerant as each one was of his own faults. That's how intolerant he was of the other one. It was seeking shlemus in the other person as well. So you remember we spoke about it. It could even be on the simplest level. It could be somebody who likes to have a house that's perfectly spotless, clean, and everything is put away. And you know, that the person likes to have a house in such a way, and they're very demanding of themselves that everything has to be just so. And when that person comes into a house, the one who in the other house is a different mahalo. Where there, the idea is comfort. It comes first. Comfort comes before. Neatness, let's say, that there the priority is a different priority, or it's a home, let's say there are a lot of children, Kneinhard, and it's more difficult to keep Seder. So, the person who's the perfectionist in her own home certainly will have difficulty looking at that other home because she demands perfection, her definition of perfection, in the other home as well. And this, by the way, is the tikkun that would come with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who was coming to the Hilulah Sun, the Lag B'Omer. Remember that after Rabbi Akiva finished burying the 24,000 students, so he gave smicha to Rabbi Shimon. Right? That's when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai became his student, or he actually ordained Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And that way of the students, it seems, was carrying over on some level into Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai when he first came out from the cave. I don't think I have to go over the whole story. You know that he was in the cave with his son, Rabbi Lozen, for 12 years. And because of the circumstances with Rome, he was hiding. And when he came out, you remember that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son saw people that were working in the fields. And it says in the Gemara that everywhere they looked, fire came out from their eyes and everybody was being burned. Because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, people are plowing, people are planting, Tarmatahema, what's going to be the Torah? So look, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Elazar just came out from this world where they were completely, totally, 24 hours a day immersed in holiness. And they were on the highest level of perfection that a human being could possibly imagine. When they came out of that cave, after 12 years, wherever they looked, they were looking for perfection. They were demanding of people. They said, how could you work with you? You're a farmer? Are you crazy? How could you do that? How could you neglect eternal life for life of this world? How are you not in the Bais Medrash? And everywhere Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai would look, and everywhere Rabbi Elazar would look, would be burned by that, would be burned by the fire of that demand for perfection. By that look, so that's after 12 years. So what did the Rebbe Shlomo say? Because whatever you're learning, it's always that time of the year, it's always the yontif of that time. So this is really amazing. So what happened? So then they went, Hashem's Baruch said, Chizru l'maraskan, what do you think I let you out from the cave, you destroy my world? Go back into the cave. And then when they came out, a year later when they came out, so then of course Rabbi Shimon had a different way of looking at the world. Rabbi Elazar was going to destroy it, was continue, was going to do it again. But Rabbi Shimon said, ah, Kamachaviv and the whole Maisa, the old man running with the Hadassim, and it's not important for now. But Rabbi Shimon said, ah, Ray, Kamachaviv and Mitzvahs, and look how good Jews are. Look, there's so many good things in Jews. Even though this person might not be a Talmud Chacham, but look how he loves Shabbos, because he was running for the honor of Shabbos with two bunches of Hadassim, who covered Shabbos. So with the smell for Shabbos. So Rabbi Shimon said, look how Jews love Mitzvahs. What happened to the old Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? It's an amazing thing. Rabbi Shimon was the one who survived. Rabbi Shimon was the student of Rabbi Akiva. The new world was going to begin with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. But Rabbi Shimon still had, Rabbi Shimon came from the Beis Medrash of perfection. And he was looking, when he first came out, he saw the world with those eyes. With the eyes that were as demanding of everybody else as they were of himself. And Hashem is Baruch said, that's not what I want. You could do that, I want you to do that when it comes to yourself. And to live in that, so to speak, in that cave, in that little world within yourself, to be that perfectionist. But I want you to see other Jews and to see the mildest in other Yidden. I want you to see the good in other people. My question is, how do I turn myself around like that? On and off, how do you do that? So Bissel Salanta says, Ukemak, kol yisoid, midas ahanova, hibchinus lo maila besech onashi, halo, kol kayach knias amadregis for hamailas, totally besech lodom. Vech yalu lo maila misichla. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, who you know is a genius in his understanding of a human being. So Yisrael said, look, how is a person supposed to acquire this midah of humility of another? Because I think maybe we'll spend the mission next year talking about, because it's really the natural follow-up of this. We'll then talk to you next year about another. How does one acquire this midah of humility, which is l'mayla m'sechel nashi, it's beyond our understanding? And he says that the whole way that we acquire our madregas and our milas depends upon seichel, upon intellect. So how could we possibly acquire a midah, humility, which is beyond our understanding? So Rabbi Yisrael writes a wonderful mimer, a very deep mimer, on this subject of how to acquire another humility. And how one can rationalize, and in this way is able to use his seichel to see the maila of his friend, the good points of his friend, and to be critical of himself. The kach kitzur devar. This is really a remarkable thing. You'll see. This is absolutely remarkable. So this is these are the words that are highlighted in Rabbi Yisrael himself, and then Rabbi Chaim Friedlander is explaining. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta says that this is the work of a person's life, to acquire within his soul each midah and its opposite. B'chol davar v'hi puchal. Each and its opposite. Ha'adam sarach litnos ba'omar rav esakishrein shiyuchal lasas davar v'hi puchal. A person in his life must acquire, we were talking about that during the winter, Motzei Shabbos, the Indian of Bir Hamidus, that a person has to learn how somehow to be able to serve Hashem, not by what you feel is comfortable for you, but to do davar v'hipucha, one and the opposite. We'll see what that means in a moment. Lahargulas nafsho, asher be'ez ki yidrosh davar hanogei la'atzmo, and one can accustom himself to this way, that when he demands something, when it applies to himself, he's demanding. Yisayru bekirbo midas hanidroshes. In terms of demanding from himself, he makes use of those midas, of those traits that bring about this result of demanding from himself. That when something is nogei, when something is applying to your own service of Hashem, you have to strengthen, awaken, and arouse within yourself the midah that is necessary, or those midahs that are going to be necessary in order for you to serve Hashem at that moment. And at that moment, you have to forget and turn completely away from the opposite. What does that mean? Avodas Hashem mechayevas milvad shlo yosim levelov elagam shiyad nishkach mizichrono. That Hashem wants you to serve Him at that moment by activating one midah within you and turning completely and totally away from another midah. And now it's the, now let's go the other way. So this is when you're looking at yourself. When you're looking at yourself, Hashem wants you to activate which midah? Probably the midah of emes. Emes, truthfulness. And to use the midah of emes to muster up all the truth within yourself, to be honest with yourself, to say, this is taka problem, I need to fix it. And you should not at that moment be, what, compassionate and kind and sweet and soft and gentle and nice. No. That's not what Hashem wants from you that moment. He wants you that moment to be brutally honest. And there's a midah, one of the midahs is emes. It's this week, it's Tiferes, right? Tonight is Yesod Shel Tiferes. And Hashem wants us to be honest with ourselves. So that's the midah that I have to use at the time when I'm judging myself. And I am not to use the midah of rachum v'chanun, of chesed. I'm not to be kind with myself, so to speak, at that moment. But Rabbi Sol says, but now, when it comes to your relationship to another person, when it comes to a relationship with another person, just the opposite. Now you have to do what? The opposite. You have to awaken within yourself, mamish, the opposite midah. So now listen, when it comes to looking at the other person, so now Hashem Yisbarach says, don't use the midah to emes. Don't be honest. Because if you'll be 100% honest, the person taki doesn't look so good. Now Hashem says, I want you to use which midah? The midah of chesed. Chesed should be chesed. I want you to be chesed, completely kind. Totally kind-hearted. And to wash over all of that person's faults with beautiful thoughts and ideas and ways to find positive things about him. Not emes. So Rabbi Sol Salanter says that a human being is capable of this. And we're going to see how. Now you have to turn the midah around, and now you have to tap in to just this midah, which is called midah seches. When you look at yourself, it's midah seemes. And when you're looking at yourself with midah seemes, you are not to look at the midah seches. You're not to use the midah seches, just the midah seemes. When you're looking at your friend, you are not to tap into midas and to emes. You are to gaze only upon that way. It's called midas hachesed, and you're looking at another person. Even on the simplest level, when it comes to how you treat another person, you're supposed to treat the person with unbelievable kavod. Unbelievable kavod. To get up, to bring a person a chair. What can I do for you? You're so chashuv, you're so important. And when it comes to yourself, the Baruch Shalom says, if you do that, you're like a ridiculous buffoon. If you expect people to stand up for you, that's absurd. But you, the very same person, should see that kavod is a chashuv thing. Kavod is very chashuv, but not for me. It's chashuv for somebody else. So there's an older person, there's a parent, the Talmud Chacham, and so on. So then you have to what? You have to awaken this midah of kavod. This midah of kavod. Now let's say that moment instead, you don't think kavod, you think emes. So emes is, you'd say, what's altogether such a big tzaddik? And number one. Number two is, altogether, what's a human being, the chlal, that they should get covered? And I heard in the yeshiva, it says covered. And that I remember I saw in the sefer that last amazing simchas Torah of the Chafetz Chaim's life. Some of you might have read about it or heard about it when Rabbi Chanan Wasserman danced in front of him for hours and Chafetz Chaim was sitting in a chair. So that was a lesson for the Chofetz Chaim's life. So they lifted up the Chofetz Chaim on the chair, Simchas Torah, and the Chofetz Chaim was saying things. He had his eyes closed, and the students lifted him up, and he was mumbling. And one of the Talmud, they were trying to hear, and everybody was clapping and dancing. And somebody heard the Chofetz Chaim said, instead of saying about himself, a shtick dirat, a piece of dirt, a piece of dirt. A piece of dirt, that's all I am, a piece of dirt. Now, that's when the Chofetz Chaim saw himself. But you know that when it came to any of his students, even the smallest little nobody of a student, the Chofetz Chaim was mechabed him. The Chofetz Chaim said, "Ura, you chashev, you're so important, you're so special." And yet when they lifted him up on a chair, when they lifted him, the tzaddik of the generation, on a chair, the Chofetz Chaim says, "Ash, a piece of dirt." So how do we do that? That's the real problem. But you see that Rabbi Saul is saying that a person has the ability to do this if you focus and you know how to tap into to that need at that time. So he explains. He goes weiter. Moisif Hagon Rabbi Saul Salata. Al Yi Polev Adam Vayishtenim Al Amar Halazay. Rabbi Saul says, don't be dejected, don't give up hope. Because at this point you might think, forget, I can never do this. I am who I am. But people say, oh, listen, this is how I look at I am, this is how I am. So Rabbi Saul says, don't give up. He's a marapella. Ech Adam Yochalas is over the Hipuchal. It is a wondrous thing. How could a person activate within himself, like, you know, almost to press a button and to be a different person? Says, if you look carefully, you'll see that you're very capable of this. Not only that, but this happens to us all of the time. And we have it, it's in our very nature to do this. We're going to see how it's natural. Says, even on your own, even without working at it, you're going to see that you have within you this ability to do what? One thing and its opposite, to activate opposite meters. Lidugma, for instance. Kamo hazikaran vahashikha v'chayotze behem. For instance, he says, remembering and forgetting. Now, remembering and forgetting are opposites. Ha'odem mishtamish b'zikaron v'shikha t'chut kitchuna tivis. We all naturally remember some things, and we naturally forget some things. Now, what's interesting is that a person naturally will remember certain things that made a very big impression on the person, and especially when it's something which is wonderful and positive, something pleasant in that person's life, he or she will naturally remember. On the other hand, page Kuf Ayin. The other side. Those things that caused an anguish, a person has the ability to completely, completely forget. Not only that, he says, it's almost as if there is this mechanism within the human mind that says, remember this and forget that. Remember this and forget this. Chokrei ha-nefesh omrim. Psychologists, psychiatrists have explained, those unpleasant things in life, or traumatic things in life that a person has forgotten, it's not true that he's actually forgotten them. That's why those that are forgotten, those forgotten traumatic events, God forbid, in a person's life, often, most often, have an impact upon that person. And until he or she understands what's at the bottom of my emotional struggles, the person doesn't remember. But it's not that issue was gone. I remember many years ago, there was a certain Indian that I was involved in, where there was a woman who had been, as a child, who had been terribly, terribly abused and molested by her father. And there were a group of sisters in that family. And there was one who, for whatever reason, there was one who was going through therapy and remembered everything. And the one who remembered shared that memory with the others and the other sisters. And they all remembered. And they all had gone through these horrible, horrible experiences. And it's a remarkable thing. Each of the children simply forgot.
Sublimation.
It's the need that the person has to survive is so great that there is this unconscious effort that's made to erase something from the memory bank, even though Nebuch it's not erased. And that's why the person has difficulties in them, so on and so forth. But there is this, from at least conscious awareness, the person has a remarkable ability to forget. And that's a big block of people wouldn't be able to survive. People that went through the Holocaust, people that went through Tsaros, would they be able to get up? They wouldn't be able to get up in the morning. Who could get up? If they would remember everything? It's very different. It might be that they don't forget entirely, but there is a way that a human being uses uses that koach of shikha. When I was growing up in my house, my mother always told us wonderful things that she remembers from the home. And when I was speaking to my aunts, it wasn't as wonderful as my mother, you know, remembers it. My mother always said, oh, we were so rich, and we had this, and I guess my aunt said, we had a duck. Like my mother said, we had like a farm. And my aunt said, oh, it was a duck, you know, maybe it was a goat once in a while, it was nothing much. But my mother was the youngest of 11, and she remembered the beautiful things. But when it came to anything that, from the dark period that began in, well, in that place, it was 1943-44, when things started turning around. So my mother, you know, wasn't part of what we spoke about, wasn't part of what she wanted to think about, and she made that choice. Whatever, I don't know how much she remembers or how much she's forgotten, I have no idea, because she just chose not to talk about it. Whether one needs to forget something in order to survive depends upon the nature of that individual's experiences and the kalim that he or she has to deal with the experiences. But one thing is clear, that people will selectively remember and forget. Right? There is this selective amnesia that a person has to turn something off because I don't want to remember that. And then there could be a comparatively insignificant positive event in the past. Oh, do you remember the time that grandma, you know, came and brought us and made latkes that time when one latke jumped into the next pen, and everybody, the whole family says, "Oh, yeah, you remember?" Well, everybody could talk for an hour about the latkes, which was in the bigger picture of a person's life. It's almost remarkable that he or she remembers that. It's amazing because you could barely remember what happened yesterday. But you remember Bobby with the latkes, the whole family remembers the latkes. A person has such a kayach to remember and to forget, to will forgetfulness, and to want to remember. That's what he's explaining. He says, the fourth line, he never really forgot them. All of those unpleasant, God forbid, traumatic events, they're in his memory bank. But there is this natural tchuna, this natural quality that a person has, this ability, shamalim ayin mehem, that the Baruch Shalom, I'm sorry, that the person turns away. The doicha yisam l'tachas saf tahakar. And he pushes it into that place that's called the subconscious. It's not part of his conscious awareness. There's a remarkable Gemara that tells us that after the sin of the golden calf, after the Chet Ha'egel, that Bnei Yisrael were certain, the Jews were certain that Hashem Baruch would never talk to them again. That was the end of the story. And the Gemara brings, I don't want to go to the Pesuk, we don't have time, but the Gemara tells us that Bnei Yisrael asked Hashem, what about Hashem said, come and serve me and build me a Mishkan. So the Jewish people said, well, what about what just happened? What happened yesterday? So Hashem says, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. You know, yesterday we had, there was a Maisa. So Hashem says, Gamela Tishkachachna, which means that the Rosh Hashanah says, it means it's in the Pasuk, but Hashem's book says that, I forgot. So Kleisel said, Hashem, you don't remember that? So Hashem says, no, you know what, there's only one thing that I remember is that you came to Har Sinai and you received the Torah at Har Sinai. That's what I remember. Selective amnesia. The Master of the Universe himself says, I forgot the Chet Ego, and I remember the greatness that you showed me by receiving the Torah. That you know that every single midah, that everything that you and I have as human beings is only because the Baruch Shalom has, and we have a little bit of a taste of the Baruch Shalom's ways. So you see, there is such a thing that a person is able to remember and to forget. So he explains. Now, obviously, the question is going to be, how do we acquire this ability and choose to use it? Not just like remembering and forgetting stop, but how do we actually make the active choice to turn on this midah, to turn this off? How does that happen? So we're going to work on that. So he says, Koach hazikaron v'hashikcha hem tchuna tivis ba'adam shi'ocha lasas dover v'hipucha. So we see that remembering and forgetting is a natural quality in a person, where you see there can be one thing and the opposite. So Rabbi Sol says, "Kein gam bekoach adam laharchiv koyachos midas nafsho l'shtamish behem betivra odavri v'hipucho." So Rabbi Sol says the same thing with every single midah. Don't give up hope, because Rabbi Sol says you should know that it's just like it's natural for you to be able to remember and to forget. It's natural for you to be able to be honest at one moment and in the next moment to be compassionate and to be kind-hearted and to overlook the truth. It's possible, because we have that within our nature. Kach, he says, b'kol karchas ha-nefesh, in all of the karchas ha-nefesh, yesh yecholos ba'adon l'shtamish v'hem dover v'hipucho. A person is able to use one and the opposite. We spoke about that Motzei Shabbos in the winter, the union of ezer kenegda, right? That which is helping you and is against you. That a person can use each midah in this way and the opposite way. That a human being has the ability to look at himself one way and to look at another person mamish in a second a completely different way. In everything in life, you will be able to react in a way that Hashem wants you to at that moment. With myself, Hashem wants me to remember my faults and to work on them. With my friend, Hashem's Baruch wants me to forget his faults and overlook them and to find ways to justify or to rationalize. That's what Hashem wants in you at that moment. How you look at one person, from one thing that the person does, another person does another thing. That, in other words, you have there's this friend of yours. She says, for instance, let's say somebody did a favor for you. Let's say your friend did you a favor. So then, what does Hashem want you to do? Then Hashem wants you to remember always that that person did you a favor. You see that midah by, especially by tzaddikim, that the midah by tzaddikim is unbelievable, hakaras ha-taiv. To remember that once, many years before, that person did a taiv. That person did you a favor, did you a taiv. So Hashem Yisbarach wants you to what? To remember the good that person did and to show him kindness in return. Midah, im asalei ra. Now, the very same person who did something good for you, and Hashem says, remember it. But the very same person has also done something terrible to you. And Hashem says, forget. Like with Hashem and the Jewish people. And that Hashem says to forget. That's what Hashem wants of you. Hashem says like this, forget anything bad that this person has ever done to you, but remember forever any tiniest little good that the person has done for you. So you think, how could I do that? I remember, and I know this person very, very well. I appreciate the good things, but I'm really upset about the bad things. So the Avodas Hashem is not that. The Avodas Hashem is connecting to the good that person has done for you and completely, completely ignoring anything negative that the person has done to you. K'meisha al yidei k'rechas ha-nefesh mashkiach me'atzmas ha-rosh osa lazulas. Don't we have that ability? How many times does it happen that someone will point out to you how you hurt him, and he'll say, I don't remember. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember that. And the person will say, what do you mean? It was only 60 years ago. Don't you remember that how you hurt my feelings? And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. So how come you don't know? And it could be that at the time, it wasn't like you didn't realize. You realized it, but in that person there's a lingering pain. As far as you're concerned, there's this natural instinct that says, I did something wrong. I don't want to think about that I did something wrong. I'm just going to erase that. And you cross it out of your mind because you want to be a good guy or a good girl. So you don't want to think of that. So you don't remember that you hurt that person. That person remembers being terribly hurt. And many times there's a terrible miscommunication, especially in marriage, and husbands and wives. In this sugya, you know, it's kefirlich. You know, this one remembers, this one doesn't remember. What's the matter? You don't care. You don't remember. I do care. I don't care. And this whole shock of the fact is going on in every marriage about how you did hurt me. I didn't hurt me. I don't remember. I did. How come I didn't? You didn't say what? All of these shock of the fact, all these discussions back and forth that a person's. But if that would happen to you, what you did to that person, you for sure would remember. If your spouse did that to you, you would remember. But when you did it to your spouse, you crossed it off the list. Like it never happened. La ha yin dvar, la ha yin dvar, never happened.
When somebody, I find that if somebody owes you money, You demand even a nickel.
Right.
And you owe someone else money, you figure
out. Yeah, that's good. That's Kaseida. You see, it's true. A person, and it's not even the person's cheap. Because you don't care about it. It's not that you care about the $10. It's not that. There's a certain Rebbe Yeshiva Netz Yisrael that I gave him a lift to the train many years ago in Queens. And he said he forgot his money to have $20. I gave him $20. I have no time against the guy, but I saw him in Eretz Yisrael 3 years ago. I was in the yeshiva there, and I saw him, and we gave each other a hug. How you doing? And I'm thinking, you don't remember? You owe me $20. But I don't care. I'm marginal on the $20. But I say, how can you not? Like, just tell me, Marshall, if you don't mind it. I never paid you back, and I would tell him, forget it. I don't care. It's okay. But I remember that. It's a crazy thing. I don't really care about $20, but how could you forget? How could you forget? So in his memory, it was an insignificant thing, and whatever it happened, the guy was busy and he had to go back to Eretz Yisrael, he forgot. But for me, it's like I did a talyud, and the guy didn't even acknowledge and never remember to at least say that, I owe it to you. And this happens to Kaseida. One thing, mamish davar v'hipucho. One thing, and mamish the opposite. So he says, "Kach yeshkiach mi'atzmo harosh osa azulah slo." Therefore, Yisrael is going to teach us that there's a way that you could actually use this kayach. Could you imagine that you can be in charge of how to use what to forget and what to remember, what to focus on, and what to turn away from? You can be in control of that. It's not just like this stuff that we're talking about that it happens. I remember, I forgot. That I remember anything that anybody, any bad that happened to me, but I forget any bad that I did to someone else or whatever. That a person should be in charge, should be the balabas over this davar v'hipuch is a wondrous thing. But Rabbi Sol showing us now, he's teaching us, don't think this is unnatural. The first thing Rabbi Sol saying is, you might think that you can never achieve this because it's so weird, it's so crazy, it's so unnatural. What do you mean? And what am I going to be a Moshe Kapayot like this every moment on and off? So Rabbi Sol saying, what are you talking about? This is very, very natural. We live this way. The question, like everything, that's what Musa is all about. How do you refine yourself to be a bal kayach, to be a bal nefesh, to be someone that's a bal avoyde, to take hold of oneself and to activate that which is good and healthy and to use the kayach as a nefesh that we have. But one thing is clear, and that's what we've all shown so far. We do have the kayach within us. We have this metzias in us. The question now is, how do I take charge? But we definitely have this kayach of one thing and the opposite. So how do we talk do this? We're just going to be able to start this tonight. He says here, mamish, a wondrous thing. This is Rabbi Sol Salanta. Look, Rabbi Sol makes the chiluk between that which is called koyach haseichel, the power of intellect, and koyach hispailus. I'm not quite sure how to translate hispailus. Hispailus, we'll see. Hispailus means like an emotional reaction. Like, sometimes you'll hear it's used sort of Hebrew, Yiddish. Oh, I have the hispailus. Or I'm nispoil from this. And hispailus means, ooh, wow. It's like something makes an impression. Right? So it's a hispailus. So there's a difference between the intellect, koyach haseichel, and koyach hispailus. Hispailus is also a koyach. So Rabbi Sol says like this: Haseichel, the intellect, ze koichei malos lispashd al kol gedoyser lishalach b'harchov lechapis levak al kol tzidei tzodim. Rabbi Sol says it's the nature of the intellect to investigate all sides of an issue. A person who uses the intellect uses that koich to go through the inyan carefully, very very carefully. He explains haseichel. The mind, the intellect. Kishamavchin bedover amusag darkelis pashit. The nature of the intellect is to spread its wings. The intellect pushes forward to all corners, cracks, and crevices of a subject to get to the bottom of it. And that's how a person should learn Torah. You don't learn Torah in a superficial way. You learn Torah and you read something and say, oh, that's it? Okay. No, you're supposed to ask and look and go weiter and try to figure out the bigger picture of what's happening here. And that's what he explains. When it comes to the intellect does not stay focused davki in one tiny little piece with a flashlight or the microscope on that spot. The nature of the intellect is to probe. And probing means to test and to look and to go into other areas, surrounding areas. Who mistakil al hadavar or maketh as inyan mikol atzdadim or mikol abchinas. The intellect surrounds and goes forward and up and down and around to get to all different possibilities. Im adam avchin rak tzad echad shel hadavar zeh semer shuv lahisig es inyan. If you only think about one particular point of that subject, that means he didn't grasp it. It means he didn't learn it. He didn't get it. Hamabit shalohu rak chad study. That means that you only have a one-sided way of looking at this. Kamo belimud gemara. This is when a person learns gemara. Sarach ladasas hagedav ha'yisod mikol atzdadim. When you're learning the gemara, you have to question and ask, and the chavrusas back and forth to try to cover all the surrounding territories. Oz nasam hadvarim berurim ubehirim. And only then can it become very clear. However, when you look at only one aspect of this, then it's really not clear. Then you really don't have it. You really don't get it. You don't understand it. This is the nature of the intellect, and this is the strength of the intellect. It has this ability to encompass all different aspects of that inyan. And that's the mark of it. When you see a genius, you see it's amazing. In a genius, one thing that each thing is related to something that in the mind of a normal person is so far, has no relationship. But a genius sees everything, boom, boom, boom. And now we can understand this, we can understand that, we can understand this and this and that. And then, wow, whoa, it's going all over the place. A person who's not, doesn't have that kacha seichel, He can feel comfortable when at home in one little area of thought. But to make those connections, that requires a very strong intellect. But that's the nature of the intellect, to seek and to probe, to go weiter. And he continues himself. Lo kein ha'espailus. This is not the case when it comes to espailus. To what? To espailus, to that strong emotional reaction. The nature of that is to focus all of the karchas of your nefesh, all of the soul strength, to that particular thing that causes the espirus, the excitement. He explains. The nature of espirus is that it's one-sided. Since hispilus, where does hispilus come from? It comes from a regesh, from an emotion. Kasha haregesh misrakes bedover mesuya. When one's emotions are focused on one thing, shnageya obanyeno sobosais, that's affecting you, that applies to you at that moment. Also, mafilus koyach hispilus, that activates this hispilus, ad hasayf, mamish to the greatest extreme. To the degree that you're interested in that thing. Certainly when it comes to somebody who's in love, that feeling of being in love, that nothing else exists. There's nothing else. The person from Pasha walks around, like the Rambam says, what it means to be lovesick. The Rambam talks about loving Hashem, loving it, that we learn from Shir Hashim, what does it mean to be lovesick. Mamish day and night, that's all the person can think about. There's nothing else. The nature of the nature is that his spineless one is his righteous of love. And you try to talk to me. If you ever try to say to me, I don't think you should love that person. It's crazy. What are you talking about? It's nothing to say. This spineless. The nature of the spineless is that it's pushed. Sees nothing else. So then you have a person that comes with the intellect. Let's say the kid comes home and says, "Daddy, I'm in love. I'm in love." So the father says, right, the girl comes home and says, "Daddy, I'm in love." So her father says, what's his panasa? He doesn't have any panasa. Does he come from a nice family? Nah. Totally dysfunctional family. What about, is he a bentar? Not really. Is he kind? Not in particular. You know, and all these things. So the father says, "Well, sweetheart, I think we should maybe reconsider. I'm in love." What do you mean? I love him. And that his spineless, not his structures, the very nature of it is not to see the whole picture. His righteousness, pilus, It zooms in on something, it takes the heart, and it lifts the heart in such a way, it's such a violent thing that the person, it's just the opposite. Whereas seichel, the Indian, the father's using a seichel. He doesn't love the guy. So the father's seichel is asking, what about parnasa? What about family? What about this? What about that? The father's seichel is naturally covering all ground. On the other hand, the daughter's not, it's not in your seichel, it's in his spiralis. And in the world of his spiralis, the whole spiralis is, you know, this one nakuda, and that one nakuda, all of life becomes caught up in that nakuda. So he explains, let's just finish this paragraph.
Maybe a good translation for his spiralis is wonderment.
I'm sorry?
Wonderment.
Like. Wonderment, his spiralis certainly is that, the excitement and the wonderment, right? So this is what he's explaining. It's either chumitzamtzim as kshar kreches and nefesh kein schuches megadelis. It's like using a magnifying glass. Afshe roya baraketa echad bilvad. When you take a magnifying glass and you put it on the page, all you're looking at is one little word. But that one little word takes over the whole page. There's nothing else in the page. There's only that one word. That's what it means. It's spiralis. Because you're interested in this, and because it excites you, and because you want it, then you have your magnifying glass on that thingy in your life, and nothing else. You don't see it at all. Whereas the seichel is taking a step back and looking at everything. His pilus is just the opposite. His pilus means you take a magnifying glass, and it makes that one word huge, and everything else you don't even see. That's the nature of his pilus. That is the nature of that emotion. The spilus is like a magnifying glass. Let's just finish this paragraph. It takes a minute. At that moment, it's as if you have no other kareches nefesh. That person who has his spilus, who's feeling that love, has no other kareches nefesh. Nothing else. Nishkan Ches, Nishkan Emes. There's no. That's why this Nebuchadnezzar Yitzharus. You can have a person who's a religious person, who's a God-fearing person, who believes in Hashem, who believes in the Torah, but he's in love and she's in love. They might do things they shouldn't be doing as religious people, because at that moment. So what about happened to Gvura? So somebody's looking in. You have this sweet little couple, and they're in love, and they're starting to do things they shouldn't do. So along comes the Rebbe, and the Rebbe says, Rabbi Yisai, Ezehu Gibor. Who is a strong person? The one who conquers his Yetzirah. And they just go, Giba, Gvura. What are you talking about, Gvura? The very same kid who a day before, when it came to something, was a Giba Mamish. But when he has the magnifying glass on his little friend, and there's the Hisrachus and there's Pilus, so then all the other, there's no Midas Gvura, there's no Midas Emes, because Emes is telling him he shouldn't do this. This is not the right thing for you to do. And Gvura is saying, hold yourself back. What are you, crazy? You're an El Chayit, you're a Yid. What are you doing? He can't hold back. There's no Gvura. At that moment, there's only one Midah. And that Midah is that it strikes the spouse. There's nothing else. They're Ahava. There's a Midah Ahava. The Midah of love. And at that moment, there's no other Midah, just the Midah Ahava. Because the whole magnifying glass is only in the Midah Ahava. I'm loving. So that's what he explains. It's as if the other karkas and nefesh, the other karkas that you have of your soul, they don't exist. You don't see them. There's no emes, there's no gvura, there's nothing. There's just ahava. This is the nature of that midah that's called his spilus, which focuses and does not permit one to see anything else. Every one of us has these two karechas, the karech of the intellect and the karech of the spilus. Not just when it happens to us, but we have the karech to use our intellect, and we have the koyach to use his spilus, to muster up within ourselves in his spilus. We're going to learn how. Haseichel ain't a koyach ritzoni. Haseichel mitzad atzmo hu objektivi. The nature of the seichel is it's objective. Malkin is the mikolastol. The seichel is objective. It sees things honestly from all sides. That's how the father is looking at that boyfriend from all sides. Mishkan panosa, mishkan this, mishkan that. So the father is looking at it from all sides. That's the seichel. Lumazais, on the other hand, koyach his spilus who koyach ritzoni, hamuflay beha regish. That's an inyan of regish, of rotzen, of emotion and desire. Beha dem l'toykev koyach rotzen shu roitze lichyais as a chavaya hazu mafil haregish And to the degree that you want to experience and to enjoy and to delight in that moment in that hisrakshus, to that degree you will focus on that, and you will not be able to feel anything else except that hispilus, not hisrakshus. So this is the mafteach, this is the key, this is the opening. And Mitzvah next week. Next week is not Lag BaOmer, the following. So next week, I think we have a Shia Mitzvah. Michelle, is it supposed to be here? Okay. So, huh? Yes, so Michelle will be here next week. But this is the key: to learn how to use the Koyach HaSeichel and the Koyach of HaSpilus to tap into the Koyach HaNefesh in the proper way at the proper time.